Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. We have seven amazing shows to dive into for our 2024 season.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater.
Welcome back to the 2024 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples, and we are recording on-site in the Fire Hall Theater. My name is Allison Hess, and I am the Education and Engagement Manager at the Thousand Islands Playhouse.
And I am Stephanie Graham. I am Thousand Islands Playhouse Artistic Associate. Welcome to episode number 6, where we will jump into the iconic musical Jesus Christ Superstar. An explosive, dynamic telling of the last week of Jesus' life, full of iconic music, exhilarating dance, and stirring performances. A story of faith, passion, and betrayal, following the exuberant faith of Jesus' followers, the betrayal of Judas, and the devastating finale. The quintessential Andrew Lloyd Webber rock musical filled with powerful voices and well-known classic numbers such as Superstar, I Don't Know How to Love Him, and Gethsemane has been wowing audiences worldwide for more than 50 years.
That's wild. It's awesome. We're excited to have Jesus Christ Superstar close out our Springer Theater season and incredibly lucky to have JCS's fantastic choreographer with us today, Nicole Spinola.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jesus Christ Superstar is your debut here at the Thousand Islands Playhouse, but you have worked extensively in Western Canada, including at the Arts Club and Theatre Under the Stars, among many others. And you are also the co-managing artistic director of Rain City Theatre and co-founder and executive director of Camp Q. Wow. How do you even find time being the co-managing artistic director and co-founder and executive director of these two amazing organizations?
Really excellent scheduling.
Yeah. I think that's the secret ingredient for anyone who's very successful. Fantastic scheduling. Amazing. First off, I was looking up Rain City Theatre and I would love for you to tell us about it. It's a multi-award-winning company producing professional, immersive, site-specific musical theatre in Vancouver. Can you tell us a bit about, like, first, you know, how did it come to be? You know, you're the co-managing artistic director. And then for our podcasting audience, how would you even describe immersive site-specific theatre? I think that's so interesting and not something we do here at Thousand Islands Playhouse. So I think it'd be really interesting for our audience to learn about.
Yeah, so Rain City Theatre, we always joke that it was sort of conceptualized over pizza. Myself and my producing partner, would go for dinner once a week, and we were always just chatting about theater, and he's also in theater himself. And so we just started talking about this want to do something a little bit different, to step outside of that like traditional theater sense. And we noticed a huge shift in some of the audience in interest in like VR, interest in escape rooms, just really immersive experiences. So we started talking about what that might look like, and we started doing a little bit of research of companies that do it around the world, specifically in North America, and seeing what they did well and how audiences responded to that. And so we saw an opening in Vancouver around October time. There wasn't a lot of theater going on, and we also noticed that a lot of people spend money on Halloween things, and so we decided to try Sweeney Todd. So we rented out just like a storefront in Gastown, which is an iconic little spot in Vancouver, and we built a pie shop, and we did Sweeney Todd.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
In a pie shop.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And so that's when you talk about the immersive site-specific, that's the thing. So every show that you do is in a different location and you're inviting people in almost versus like it being on a stage that people are watching. Is that sort of how you would describe it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we find different found spaces and we will modify them to suit the setting of the show. So we've done Sweeney Todd in a pie shop. We've done Company, where we rented a storefront and we turned it into a 70s apartment.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah, it's all about creating an environment where the audience feels like they are part of the story and that they have been transported into our world.
So with Rain City Theatre, you know, you said you did Sweeney Todd in a pie shop,
Company in an apartment.
And you also did Cabaret. What was the staging for that?
Cabaret, we found an old bank in Gastown, just on the edge of Gastown. And it was this beautiful stone building. And inside, it had an overhang. And it had this, like, it had the original wrought iron,
oh, wow,
like, working in there with a beautiful clock. And when we walked in, I immediately was like, this is our space.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds so theatrical already.
Yeah, it was. It was. And so we totally took it apart and, we're a small company, so we do it all. So I was like, stapling pearls into the ceiling and painting the stage. But we really did transform it into an entire cabaret. So as soon as you walked in, you were hit with live music. We had our small band roving at the top of it. We had tap dancers at the beginning. We had little like sort of circus performers that would, rove around, and of course drinks were flowing, and it was quite an atmosphere to start the show. We also did we had telephones on each table, and we wired all of those telephones to be able to call each phone.
Oh, wow.
So the audience could call each other, and they could call backstage and speak to an actor before the show. And we used it during the show. Sally Bowles rings Cliff, and then Cliff sort of looks at an audience member like, can you pick this up for me?
Oh, so I love that.
Yeah, so really creating that like club atmosphere. And then we actually had a license to be able to stay open until after midnight. So we sort of continued that party afterwards.
It's so great to hear that like business owners or like people who are owning these buildings are open to that. Because mm-hmm. I think so often that's usually the obstacle of yes. people not wanting to rent those spaces for those kind of performances. And I think shout out to those building owners to, really get on board with you on that, because I think it's so fun to see theater in different ways in different spaces. And so, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that cabaret space, we actually went back for Parade, which was our show this past spring. And building owner had never been. And so we invited him and his team to come and see the show. And he was like, my space looks incredible. Like, this is so different. And it really excited him. And he's already said, like, please come back again. So
that's amazing. Yeah. And what a great use of vacant buildings, mm-hmm. And you're animating those spaces that would otherwise be sitting empty. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think also probably bringing in people who haven't never thought about theater in that way, which I think is really amazing. Like, there's a lot of etiquette with theater. It's like you go to the theater and you sit and you clap quietly. And it's like, no, it can also be this, right? Where you are part of it and you're having, it's like a little bit of a, I mean, maybe not Parade quite so much, but, for cabaret, like a bit of a party atmosphere,
yeah.
right?
You know,
where you get to enjoy yourself. And it's not just about like something happening there that I'm observing, mm-hmm. but you're like part of it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that about theater.
Yeah.
Yep.
We also had a lot of people just come off the street. They would be walking by going, what's happening in there? And so we'd say, oh, actually, we're doing this show. And we acquired a lot of audience members simply just by passerby, which doesn't normally happen in theater. So that right. was exciting.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. very cool. Awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk Camp Q.
Mm-hmm.
It's described as the ultimate sleepaway music theater training summer camp experience. That sounds so exciting. I know I would have loved to have done that
as
a teen.
Me too.
Where did this idea come from?
I've been sitting on this idea for a really long time. I wanted to create an experience for youth that wasn't that didn't have to be about booking a show or getting the part that they wanted or being in competition with anybody. And I wanted to take it outside of the traditional like September to June academic year for them. And I always loved going to camp as a kid, and I never had the opportunity to go to camp and do what I love. So I went to, horseback riding mm-hmm. camp and things like that, which is also great. But yeah, I wanted to create something that sort of paired my two loves, which was education and music theater. So Yeah.
How lucky for those kids.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah. And like, there are a lot, there are summer theater camps. Like, we actually run one here, mm-hmm. but a lot of times they actually take place like in a theater or like inside. And I always joke about, you get the inside kids coming to like theater camp because, mm-hmm. They don't like bugs or the sun or whatever. But I think it's such a cool idea and such an amazing experience to have that kind of traditional camp experience where you're out in nature and mm-hmm. like experiencing that in the summer in Canada, which is beautiful, and Western mm-hmm. Canada, which is gorgeous.
Yes.
And but then still be able to do theater. You don't have to like pick one or the other, because I feel like that's a challenge, right? It's like, well, absolutely, you can go to an outdoor camp or a sleepaway camp, or you can do theater camp. Yeah. So yeah, to be able to do both is awesome.
Exactly. And I think what we've seen is that taking the kids outside removes a lot of the pressures that they have. And we're really low stakes. And so we always say to the kids that it's sort of a choose your own adventure. We offer what we offer. And if something feels too much for one of the campers, that they could choose to do another activity. And we really see that sort of like taking a break and a step back allows for a lot more exploration in their education throughout the week, and also developing friendships with new folks. It's really exciting.
Well, it's an opportunity for those kids to find their people.
Exactly.
Find people that love the same things they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay, back to Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes.
This production originated in Kamloops at Western Canada Theatre, and it's a co-production with TIP. First, can you tell us... What does that sort of co-production, were you looking ahead to how the production might transfer, mm-hmm, or anything like, because the theaters are quite different.
Yes. Yeah. So that was our biggest, I guess, talking point when it came to what this would look like as a co-pro, was the theater size. And so trying to keep things transportable was a big, mm-hmm, topic of conversation. And our set designer, Rob Sondergaard, decided to take materials that could be easily rebuilt in another location. So you'll see all of the scaffolding. It was all built here. None of that scaffolding came with us. At least I don't think it did.
No, I think right.
And so that was a huge topic of conversation. And then also keeping the cast smaller to accommodate for the size of the stage in both locations, but specifically bringing a whole group of people out to Ontario. We wanted to keep that in mind.
And how big is the cast?
Cast is 10.
10.
Yeah.
And is that typical of Jesus Christ Superstar? I mean, I know, you know, seeing some of the productions I've seen, you'll have like big crowd scenes, mm-hmm, and, you know, the movie, obviously you have children and old people but when it's staged, is it typically staged so small, or do they usually have like a larger cast? Do we know? I don't know.
Yeah, usually it's a larger ensemble.
Yeah.
So you'll have the apostles, and then you'll have an additional ensemble who plays the mob, who will play the angels, who will do multiple things. And then this production, everybody does multiple things.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you'll get, like, you get people too, like the actors who are so multi-talented because they get to do all these different things too.
Exactly.
I think it's awesome.
They're working really hard.
They are.
Yes. Yes. And I know when it moved from Kamloops to TIP, 2000 Ounce Playhouse, some of the people weren't able to transfer. So you're actually working with some new actors as well.
Yeah.
What's that been like, kind of pulling them into this existing production and this existing experience, this existing team, right? And mm-hmm, pulling these people in and getting them up to speed. What's that been like?
It's been a quick but exciting process. I think part of what makes it so wonderful is that we get to experience a new take on the role. So we're not expecting that someone steps in and does the performance of the previous cast
right.
member. We're expecting that they come in with their own ideas and their own take on the character and the role. So that's been exciting. I think what has been interesting is that just trying to slot them in, and we had rehearsal with this group of new actors separately, and so it was a lot of, you know, you're going to stand on 8 and there's going to be lots of other people around you or you're going to exit here and there are also going to be lots of people exiting with you, or you'll interact with this person. So I in rehearsal played a lot of different roles for people just to get someone to counter.
I love it.
So, that
would be a good ticket to have to take it to that show.
I know. Yeah, it's actually it's a one-woman show. All the roles are played by Nicole. The role of Jesus and Judas are both played by Nicole in this production. That would be an interesting take as well. But wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Were there any other kind of changes other than, like, you know, resizing? Because the Western Canada stage is much bigger, mm-hmm, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of set, but even in terms of like the blocking and your choreography, how do you modify that when you're bringing that both just to a new theater, but to a smaller space like TIP?
Yeah, so it's just about looking at space, like you've said. That's the biggest biggest change. And so it's about modifying some of the things. So in our leper scene in Kamloops, there was more opportunity for movement around the stage.
Mm.
Where here at Thousand Islands, we are looking at Just creating like a different visual for that in order to modify for the space. And you'll see with big cloaks, it's just also about safety of the actors, making sure that there is enough room for them safely to move around the stage. And so it's just modifying slight pictures in order to be able to fit it best on our stage here.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So Jesus Christ Superstar is one of the first rock operas, mm-hmm. and it's very different in terms of choreography to some of the other shows that you've done, Cinderella, Anne of Green Gables, Something Rotten. Mm-hmm. How do you use choreography in the show versus those shows? Or is your process different?
I think my process from the get-go is always very similar. So I sit down and I read through the script and my main thought process is, what do I need to tell the audience and what does the audience need to know? Those are sort of my two starting points. For this show specifically, because we have such a small cast, I had to be really creative in what type of movement I could do. In that it doesn't have a big ensemble where I can have people sort of as backup, if you will, for some of the leads or some of the apostles. So I had to be creative in who could do what, when, where, and why. So this show specifically is really story-based movement, where Cinderella or Anne of Green Gables, you have big dance breaks where you can have a lot more imaginative movement and a lot more dance, if you will. So this, for me, is a little bit more movement-driven, story-driven than some of the other works that I've done.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Could you explain a little more about when you mean about story-based movement mm-hmm. versus like choreography or like dance, just for some of our audience who may not have experience with you know, ballet or jazz or any of those things? Like, how would you define the differences?
For me, and I think it can be slightly different for each choreographer or each performer, but for me, it's really about the text. And so I try to create movement that that honors the text and moves the text forward. Okay. And like I said, because there aren't big dance breaks, I'm not building big dance sequences. So you're not going to see that like iconic, you know, like, here we go and everybody's dancing on stage. Yes. And
I mean, that could be a version of JCS. Yeah, you know.
Jesus has his tap number in the Garden of Gethsemane or whatever.
Yeah, that might be Godspell though.
Oh, yes. No, wait. There he is. There it is. Okay, yeah. And kind of building on that, mm-hmm. because you're not like, okay, here's the dance break, go. Mm-hmm. How's that relationship work between you and James, the director? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, movement and blocking and staging, I think, blend so well together in a musical like Jesus Christ Superstar, because as you're saying, it is story-based mm-hmm. versus it being like, okay, we're blocking and then the song starts and then the tap number begins and then we throw it over to Nicole, right? So how's that relationship worked generally between mm-hmm. you and directors, but also specifically for Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah, for this show, there's no scene work. It's all music. Mm. And so we've had to have a really close working relationship in terms of just making sure that the story that James wants to tell is the same story that I am hoping to tell. And so lots of conversations. And it's a lot of working hand in hand. So we're up together in the room deciding what is going to work best for, you know, which scene or which song. Yeah, it's a lot of working together with this show. Where other shows, of course, there's so much collaboration. I believe theater is most successful when it is full of collaboration. And you have a great working relationship with your collaborating partners. But there are other musicals, like you've said, where a director will be blocking a scene and I will be observing and sort of seeing how we're getting in and out of those scenes. And then I will sort of take it over from there. And then we'll collaborate on sort of the outside edges of what those numbers look like. But for JCS, it's definitely all hands on deck all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is really interesting, as you mentioned. Like, it is a through-sung musical, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just music the whole time. Mm-hmm. So then I guess adding even on top of that, you have director, choreographer, and then music director. Mm-hmm. And how is that relationship? I know, you know, we collaborate, but how is that relationship when kind of it's music all the time?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time with Claire Wyatt, our music director, just talking about the dynamics of the music and what story she was hoping to craft and build, because music in itself is its own story. It's its own player in the piece. Mm-hmm. And just making sure that we were really honoring what was written, but also honoring how our cast approached the music. You know, every singer is different. Everybody has a different take and idea on how they want to perform the song. And so it was really just talking about what was going to work, and especially with only 10 performers. It was also about mapping through and plotting through the whole show to make sure that, you know, this actor who is an ensemble or an apostle and then becomes pilot, well, does that person need to drop out? Does that actor need to drop out of this song in order to be able to go change to be able to be piloted in the next piece? There was a lot of those kind of puzzle piecey things that we had to put together to make sure that we had like a smooth process.
I think that's the beauty of like choreography. It's like you get the math part of our brains as well as the artistic part of our brains. And I think, you know, that's especially when you're adjusting a show to have a smaller cast, mm-hmm. you thinking that stuff through ahead of time mm-hmm. is essential. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the fun part.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is fun and challenging, but fun.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Awesome. So we always like to end our podcast with what we call our GAN shout out, because, you know, Gananoque has so many beautiful, delicious, entertaining things to offer. So how have you been enjoying your time in GAN, and how much have you explored so far?
I have been exploring as much as I can, but we've been in the theater quite a lot with this production, which is exciting. But what I've been spending my time is really just walking around the town. Gananoque is stunning, and the riverway here is a gorgeous spot to work and think and decompress. And I found that anytime I've taken a walk, I've had probably 10 people say hello to me and wish me a great day. And that has been very, very welcoming. And also, it's just a nice way to sit with my thoughts and also be part of a community that I've just dropped into. So.
Yeah, the water really has healing properties, mm-hmm. I think, no matter where you are.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Nicole, for taking the time. As you said, like, you guys have been nonstop this since you landed, right? And we're really excited to see what Kamloops is sharing with us, what Western Canada Theatre has brought here. So thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, as always, Mark Hunt, for composing our music for the Playhouse podcast. For more ticket information, please visit us at 1000oundsplayhouse.com.
See you at the theater!